Love your pets? I know I do. Well, not your pets because I don't know them, but I love pets in general, and I love mine. Well, feed them good food. Feed them Canidae. Canidae is an independent family-owned pet food company who uses the same care and same quality ingredients they want for their own pets when making their pet foods. Go to Canidae.com/podcast. That's Canidae.com/podcast and try it for free by requesting a free sample and get other special offers. Coming up on TMS, let's go fishing.
Fake dog testicles are in.
Old chicken feathers are out.
Oh, cow cuddling is a thing.
Bitcoin pizzas are also a thing.
And they're beautiful. Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You think you're smart. Smart to buy this bonus detergent. Smart to get an English rose towel and a heavy-duty detergent all at once. Do you? Well, now, you're going to think you're brilliant.
You know the answer to this, and if you say it wrong, I'm going to jump through the phone line and pinch your nipples. Go ahead. Say it.
I am the Führer of the beach. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for Thursday, May 24th. Of the 20, the 18. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Wow. Hi.
Hello, 20 of the 4th and 20 of the 18th.
20 of like the 4th.
Why don't we just start doing that from now on, like saying dates like that? I think that should be a new thing.
Year of our Lord. I like that too. Hey, it's good to be here. Boy, sorry about yesterday, everybody. I completely forgot I had a checkup thing. So, okay, I've had this like back thing for a little bit. It's not been horrible, but lately it's been acting up kind of worse than usual. And it's kind of a sciatic-y kind of, some days it's real bad, some days it's fine kind of deal. It's not that big a deal. But turns out, hey, they say it's just a little bit of tension, and also I should lose the 30 pounds I gained. How about that, he says. So
you're fat and tense.
Tense fat.
Thanks, Doc. Can I get a second opinion? Yeah, you're ugly too.
Yeah. And he says, one of your problems. He goes, you know what one of your problems is? I said, what? He goes, you don't look fat. I said, I know. He goes, it's because you're 6'3" and you spread it around. So you don't look like, you know, you don't look obese. But those extra 30 pounds aren't doing any good. Okay, great. So I'm getting rid of those.
Thanks, Doc.
Yeah, thanks. And it feels a little better today. I did like a nice hot bath yesterday. Everything's fine. But anyway, because of that, I totally forgot we scheduled it. It was right in the morning. I was supposed to tell you like a week in advance. I completely spaced it.
Oh.
So it's my bad. I apologize, everybody. There should have been a show yesterday. There wasn't. But here we are today. Man, what a difference a day can make. Can I just... Oh, Brian.
your Twitter feed was vague and...
Lame is what it was.
Lame, yeah. I can't wait to hear. All right. I really can't wait to hear any of this
all
stuff.
Right, so a couple of things. First of all, couple people not loving Satan being on the show.
Sure.
Some religious sensitivities. I understand.
Sure.
Our intent is not to... Not to besmirch anything that they hold sacred at all.
Although really, I mean...
Isn't Satan the bad guy, though?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, this is... And this is pure naivety on my part. I'll totally own up to it. But wouldn't very religious people appreciate you making fun of Satan?
Like, it seems like the more you mock Satan, the better off you are.
Right. Satan, get behind me. Or Satan, enjoy this joke.
Yeah.
Jesus, take the mic.
Yeah, you know, Jesus, like, take the mic. Put Satan under your heel, or however the old phrase goes.
Exactly.
Right. Like, I would think so, but not a lot. I don't want to overblow this. It was just a couple of dissenting voices that were...
Sure.
That were put off by
it. It's just a couple people, so I mean...
Wasn't that big a deal. But one of them was very... sincerely upset about it, and I think I shared that one with you, and I felt really bad. And I replied to him, and you know, told him that was never our intent. It was all just for comedic purposes. And I, you know, I get if somebody thinks you're playing about in things that, according to their belief, are super dangerous or something, I understand. I guess I get it. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing South Park gets complaints all the time about their version of the devil. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So I guess this is just a sign that, I don't know.
And they probably get far worse than we do. I mean
we didn't do anything.
It's not even just Satan. I mean, they probably get 10 pounds of hate mail every episode.
Yeah.
And that's digital.
Like, right.
Email. They get so much that the digital even registers on a scale.
Yeah, well said. So anyway, we've put Satan behind. Well, I mean, we make him up again. I'm not going to promise we won't see him again. But
we're not going to say he's not, but we're not going to say when he is.
Yeah. Plus, it was just a nice look at the logistics of what it's like to run hell these days, which I, sure. you know, I like. Sure. I felt like I was educated. All right. So.
I'm amazed. How do we not get angry emails from Rue McClanahan fans? Like that's where I think we might have crossed the line.
Yeah, she's hanging out with Satan that she's not supposed to be right. there. Yeah,
exactly.
There's yeah. all kinds of implications there. but made for one of the funnier segments we've ever done. Anyway,
I think so. Yeah.
So Brian, I've always prided myself. We talked about this briefly on text yesterday, but mm-hmm. prided myself as having a lifetime in the internet world. And I've never been phished successfully. PHISHED, phished.
And to clear up, we're not talking about being catfished.
No,
right?
No.
We know you have been catfished properly.
Oh, I've absolutely been catfished properly.
and both properly and improperly.
Of
actually.
Course. Always with an F, though. Always with the F. But the phishing schemes of the day don't work on me. I am impervious to them.
Sure.
They come at me. And then they splash to the side, for I am impervious to your wicked ways, saith Scott Johnson.
Well said.
Well, that was until like a day or two ago. So listen to this, and you tell me if you wouldn't have been fooled, okay?
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I'm still so angry at this person. I say person, it's probably a bot for all I know.
Sure.
But, okay, so last week, Blizzard approaches me. You know, Blizzard Entertainment, mm-hmm. makers sure, of World sure. of Warcraft, Diablo, and more, right?
More. Hearthstone.
Sure.
Overwatch. That great Superman 64 game.
Yeah. Oh, that was great, right?
Lost Vikings.
Yeah. The Lost Rock and Roll Racing. Anyway, they come to me, and what was the side-scroller thing with the guy with the axe? Something more. Strathmore or Framflar.
Framstor.
Stramblam. Chat room, you guys know the name of that guy. It's not Axe Guy. Jeez.
Axe Cop. The game.
I love Speedy. By the way, Speedy Chat is the best. I freaking love
it. Oh, God, I know. Low latency. I need to set that up for Coverville. That's a whole separate topic, but I do need to get that set up.
There Blackthorn? It is. Blackthorn. Okay. It's really easy. You just go check a thing in settings. It's really easy.
Cool.
Anyway, Blackthorn. So they made that. That was actually kind of a cool game for its time. Anyway, that's not the point. Point is, Blizzard says, hey, Scott, we love the instance as always, and we'd sure like to do a giveaway for a bunch of beta keys Battle for Azeroth, BFA.
Sure.
And they're like, we're going to be putting out the beta keys, and we're going to give you 35 of these. They did this with a lot of people, some YouTubers, other podcasters, stuff like that. So it's a big push to work with some fans and give out some rad keys. So hey, everybody, BFA keys, let's do this. And I got all excited about it. And he didn't really give me a timeline. He says, yeah, just kick it off. Let me know what you're going to do. And I said, well, here's what I'm planning on doing. And we'll announce it on Friday's show. This would have been last Friday. So tomorrow being a week from then, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll announce it there. And then we'll give them a week to submit their screenshots. And then we'll award the 30 winners. So that's what I did. Within the first 2 days, we had 3,000 entries.
Holy cow.
And okay. That's fine. Wow. That's great. No problems yet. Everything's great. I then get an email 2 days ago from someone else at Blizzard who says, hey, Scott, I've been working with the PR department. I know they've already sent you your keys. Here are 5 extras in case any of those keys are wrong. I work in the systems department. Sometimes something will go wrong with a key. And if it does, rather than having to open a ticket and go through support, here are 5 extra keys just in case there's 5 people or so who have a problem. If you need more, let me know. Okay?
Sure.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you very much. He writes back. He says, no problem. Also, we need to have that when you're done, we need a spreadsheet of everyone who won so we can match their emails to their BattleNet accounts and just make sure everything's on the up and up. He goes, we trust you, but sometimes people scam this stuff. I said, oh, okay. That's not a problem. I can do that. And he goes, and I guess the deadline's like tomorrow? And I'm like, whoa, it is? Oh, shit. I didn't know that. They didn't tell me about a deadline. He goes, well, that's okay. No worries. Just if you can, that'd be great. Sounds like you're pretty close anyway. And I'm like, yeah, we got a lot of entries. So I meticulously go out and email at the same time I'm making a spreadsheet and emailing the listeners who won.
Mm-hmm.
Zip, zap, zip, zip, boop, bop, all easy, simple, whatever. Finish the spreadsheet, and I immediately forward it over to this guy.
Okay, so far everything sounds completely...
All on the up and up.
All on the up and up, yes.
Except, it turns out, that second guy doesn't exist! He's a liar and a cheater! No way. Yes!
Okay, so wait a minute. Well, okay, so this isn't just like a shotgun blast bot thing that is like...
No,
please click here and a Nigerian prince will send you $1 million kind of thing.
Exactly.
I mean, he obviously he had listened. To see that you got the initial keys.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is like a shotgun blast to all the streamers and stuff that publicized that they got beta keys to give away.
Yeah. He got the key. So here, let me tell you his email and you tell me if this sounds fishy to you. His name is Mike Phobestep. He says, hi, hope your giveaway is going well. He wouldn't know unless I was doing the show.
Right.
He had to have heard this on the show. Because that's the only place I announced
it. You didn't tweet it or anything like that. No social media.
Not till later. I did some stuff later, but he emailed me before I did any of that.
Okay.
So he heard the show or something. He says, it is sometimes possible that winners of a giveaway experience issues with the key that they receive. In order to provide a quick response to them, here are a list of 5 additional keys for the Battle for Azeroth beta. He claims in his bottom thing here, his footer, that he's public relations for World of Warcraft. Blah, 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 blah. It all fits with what I usually get from these guys.
By the way, I'm Bombo Cube. I don't think Scott's doxing because I'm pretty sure this is a fake name.
Oh, this isn't doxing, dude.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Anyway,
yeah,
he says.
I'm pretty sure this is a fake name. Anyway, keep going.
So he says, here's the 5 codes. He gives me what look like legit codes. He says, note that these keys are being provided as replacements. They should only be provided for those who haven't had a key or who have gotten a key and it isn't working for them. If any of those keys are not needed as replacements, they should be discarded or not used. If you would like to request more keys, please do so. This should cover it, though. And if you can inform me, I will close up the current estimated key needs that are listed for you. Thanks, Mike.
Wow.
Blizzard Entertainment.
Does sound very official.
Yeah.
I would have totally fallen for that.
I said, and so I said this. I said, great, thank you. I can't wait to get the get going on the giveaway. He says... He writes back and says, hi, I'm writing to let you know that we'll be in contact with you shortly with a list. Oh, no, this was...
Did the and the email address, like you look at the email address and it says so-and-so at blizzard.com?
No, okay, now here's where Scott's an idiot. This is normally, job one is to look at addresses,
at
links.
At Blizzard.
Yeah, like that's what you do, right? I didn't bother in this case because I was so, it was so on time with my real guy at Blizzard, and it was so follow-up-y and perfectly timed and well-spoken and all the, and he had so much knowledge that I didn't look at his email. His email is a freaking Gmail address. They would never use that. They use a Blizzard address.
Probably, yeah. Unless this guy, you know, was using his phone and like, oh, I need to go and get more keys to Scott Johnson. I mean,
Yeah, and this
I think I easily would have.
Now it gets worse. So he writes back and says, hi, just checking up on how things are progressing with the giveaway. Has it concluded? Yeah. And if not, is there a set date to it? Have you run into any difficulty so far? I said, hi, we're running this contest. Send him a link of what we were doing. I says, we've got over 1,000. This is at the time I had 1,000. We ended up with 3,000 entries so far. People are clearly excited about getting a key. So we're going to be going through these and awarding our winners. He says, great to hear that. We ask that you complete the process by end of tomorrow. It sounds like many of these will be completed before that. I mean, it's all legit sounding.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, oh, no problem. Here's the spreadsheet with the winners and the 5 backup numbers as requested. Let me know if you need anything else. Then
How many names were on the winner spreadsheet?
30 total keys is what we got.
30. So he went to a lot of effort to get 30 email
addresses. To get
30
keys, yeah. So, well, it's just the keys he wants. He didn't care about the emails, I don't think.
Oh, gotcha. So this was all okay. This is for
he wants the keys.
Duh, of course, because you're actually giving him the key.
So think about how insidious this is. Now I've sent him a list of 30 keys. Now some people were able, who were Johnny on the spot with their emails,
redeemed them right away
before the spreadsheet got to him. Because like I said, I did them simultaneously.
Yeah.
But then a whole bunch of people who I forwarded keys to, as time went on, I get a reply back on, oh, weird, it's not working. Is there something wrong with me? You know, like all of these support questions about why their keys aren't working. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to dawn on me. I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on? So I start writing this guy back. Hey, Mike, there might be a problem. I'm not sure I'm going to have enough replacement. And then I get about that far and go, damn it. This guy's the guy. He's the guy. So I go and I look at the email address, and that's when it hits me. So then I forward this to my guy at Blizzard and say, is he even real over there? Does he exist? He's like, nope. Looks like he might be fishing you. And I went, oh, shite. So I have a huge props to give to Blizzard for this.
Yeah.
He turned around and says, this kind of thing happens. People get really weird around the time we give out keys. It's part of the reason they usually do flagged accounts and not keys, because this stuff gets really bad. He says, don't worry. I'm gonna cancel any of the ones that seem fishy that you sent out so that they don't get the benefit from them. People who already have them are okay. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you an additional 30, and then you can fill in any that didn't get them. So if somebody writes back and says, oh, the key didn't work,
you have a new one.
Here's a new one. So we effectively stopped it and caused, make this, we nullified it. But damn it, dude. I have never been so, I was so angry at this Mike guy. If that is his real name, no way it is.
Right.
Like, what a, and I wrote him back. You got to hear this. Hold on. So at the very end, I went, wrote back, congratulations, you got me. First time in my life I've ever fell for a phishing scheme. Historic moment. Scott, P.S., F off.
Yeah. you should have like fished him back, said, hey, some of these keys are coming up and saying you need to get the email address confirmation from the provider at Blizzard. Could you do me a favor and send me your email address and maybe your login details or your BattleNet account?
Yeah. Or I could say, let's play a game. This is how we find out what your porn name would be. Give me the first 10 digits of your credit card number and then the 3 digits on the back of the credit card number and the expiration date. This will be fun.
And your mother's maiden name.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, gosh, I'm so pissed. I'm so pissed. And it means that somebody listened to my show and did this. Yeah. And that maybe gets me the worst of all.
Maybe they're listening right now.
Well, they could be. But that means that somebody who's listening didn't know I was having a contest, was listening to the show because they listen. Unless they, somebody's hired to just sit around listening. And waiting for, and maybe they knew keys were going out, so they listened to all the shows, watched all the YouTube channels, and, fortified their plan or something. But I just felt violated. It's like somebody put a finger up my butt in public.
It's just so crazy. It just seems like, what an easy thing for, once you realize the mistake or once you realize what happened, it seems like a really easy thing to just say, well, Blizzard, go ahead and just deactivate those keys and,
Right.
You know? So he's basically, they got beta access for, 15 minutes, half an hour, half a day, whatever.
No, that's true. Like, in the end, it profited them nothing. But they did successfully get me to send them this stuff, which...
I mean, I guess he was counting on the fact that you wouldn't pick up on it and they could just keep, stay in the beta forever.
Yeah. And part of it is I hate to say this, but he spoke really good English and sounded like a guy from Blizzard. Mm-hmm. And he knew too much about the situation. The only two giveaways would have been his email address had I been really paying attention, but I wasn't. And secondly, his code, all the codes I got from Blizzard had a dash between each 4 characters. You know how those work?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Easier to enter, right?
Yep.
His 5 replacements did not have dashes. And I should have seen that and went, well, why are you just like, this seems out of like, it didn't seem like good protocol to give me a different kind of code than he would give to. And so I should have, there were a couple of things I should have sniffed out, but I just didn't, because I was in the middle of this and I take it seriously when they give us this stuff and say, hey, we trust you to do a cool thing here. And mm-hmm. so we're giving you a bunch of stuff and we want you to, partner with us. I want to do right by it. So I worked so hard to do right that I could not have done more wrong by talking to Mike. For the love of Mike. I'm going to say that all the time now. All right. That's number one. Number two, can I just mention the Columbus thing?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Brian, tell me if I'm wrong, and I'm cool to admit if I am. Mm-hmm. The reason Columbus came up the other day is because we were talking about 1492, the episode, which then made us go, the movie by Ridley Scott. Oh, the other Columbus movie made the same year. Blah, blah, blah. Talk, talk, talk. Whatever. Moving on.
Right.
People are mad at me. Like, really mad at me because... I guess we didn't bring up the fact that Columbus is primarily responsible, and a lot of the Spanish conquistadors and others, the explorers of that time, responsible for really wiping out entire...
A lot of genocide.
Genocide 101, right? Now, I going through all my elementary school, all the way up through high school, and even into college, every history class I took where anything was discussed about New World discovery or Columbus this or Columbus that, here is the extent of it. The three ships, the Mina, the Pinca, and the Ding Dong, or whatever the three ships were.
The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
Yep, those are the ones. And then you got Columbus, who thought he found India, or the West Indies, or whatever it was, but really he found America. Oops. And so he was like the great lost explorer. Now, that's the extent of it. They didn't teach us anything else. They didn't necessarily teach us he was a hero, but we would have Columbus Day, and then they would say, okay, why do we celebrate it? What's the deal with him? He discovered the Americas by 1492. Like that was the extent
that's
of it.
All we got, right.
Exactly. They didn't give us anything else. And I'm not saying it was like reverse propaganda. I mean, maybe it is. Maybe that's what it's defined as. But we didn't grow up with that at all. I'm talking like my entire life. So when I say to you that I am not versed in his atrocities, I mean it. I actually don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. No. I know now. Thanks, everybody. I know now.
Right.
And everybody's like, well, you're being all defensive. You're making it about you and not about these people who died. No, I'm saying that if you don't know a thing, don't pile on the guy that doesn't know a thing. Help him understand it. And then when he does understand it, then you can't claim ignorance. Like, I was ignorant. Yes. Was I willfully ignorant? No.
No, wasn't that you that I'm avoiding any tweets that have anything to do with Columbus Day.
Right. I didn't know any of this. Like, I honestly didn't know. Now, some would say, you're a grown man. How do you not know? I don't know. I don't keep up with Columbus going. I don't sit around going, I don't even celebrate the day. I work those days. Mm-hmm. I don't even have a holiday during that day. So to me, it's nothing. So to say, well, Scott, how come you weren't sensitive to the stuff he did? I don't know. I don't know everything. There's so many things to know. Here's one that I don't. And it doesn't come up in conversation. Right. Hey, everybody, it's good to see you. Boy, what a great family reunion we're having. What's the deal with Columbus? It doesn't come up.
What a jerk, am I right?
Yeah. So if I sound defensive, it's because I am. You got to quit doing that. You know why people... here's what I'll say. I am a big proponent of progressive, liberal, social causes. I think gay people should get married. I think black people should be 100% non-discriminated against. Like, all the things. I'm with you. Justice for all, okay? Mm-hmm. But the reason some people pile up on you and call you SJWs SJW, social justice warriors in a negative context, or the reason they call you a cuck, or the reason they call you a libtard, or whatever it is, the horrible name they're calling you, is because you do this thing where you go, ew, pardon me while I get up on my pedestal and treat everyone like if they didn't know a thing that they're dumbasses and have committed a great social crime. No, be informative and nice. Freaking kindness and politeness is free. It's free.
Exactly. Right. You know, practice some of that that nicety that you wish the people you're complaining about aren't practicing, you know, and actually be nice and actually be helpful instead of being a jerk. That's
why you get that reputation. And I'm not pointing at anyone in particular, but when you do this where you go, oh, I'm sorry you had your feelings hurt, Scott, but maybe the millions of people who died as a result of Columbus is the, maybe then you'll, okay, I didn't know he did these things, or I didn't get the context of it all. Now I know, and you don't have to do that. Like, that is the thing you don't have to do. What you can say instead is, ooh, I don't know, have you read about some of the stuff he did? Here's a helpful link. That's cool. I'm down with that. But when you come at me all guns blazing, there's a reason why we get really divisive. And you can stop some of that, too. It isn't just the far right and their wackadoo. Some of us need to just calm down, put our sticks down, come to the middle and go, Columbus, interesting, and learn something.
Exactly. Yep, you're 100% right.
All right. I've got it out of my system. I was super pissed yesterday. Now I feel great.
I feel good.
I feel great today. I've been successfully fished. We got some fishing. Speaking of which, like, this would be a little bit like, you know what it is? It's like raising kids. If Tristan or one of my kids, when they were little, spills a huge glass of milk all over the table, do I go, oh, you dumb piece of shit, you should have known that if you're going to bump the thing, do you do that? Or do you go, oh, it's okay, bud. Here, help me clean it up and let's have a moment of teachability and why it's
exactly. It's here's okay. Why that happened because yeah. you were reaching for something instead of asking somebody to pass it to you, or you were
right.
Like, you didn't ask for help or blah blah blah.
Or that accidents happen and it's okay mm-hmm. and all you can do is make up for that the best you can. That's all that was. And the fact that you and I were just talking about how the numbers like the episode we're on is also really funny to me because we weren't all pro Columbus, were we? Were we? Like what did we even say?
No, we totally weren't. We actually were like, hey, what day is Columbus Day? By the way, today, because there was no show yesterday, I think the numbers finally right?
Well, mine's 1493 is what I'm showing.
It should be 1492 because you've got yesterday's page is empty. So really today is 1492.
Oh, because I started doing notes before I remembered my appointment.
Yep.
We're going to have to fix that. I can do that. Okay. Yep. So this is 1492. So this is the date.
This is the real 1492.
Great. That's even better. 1492.
Columbus TMS sailed the ocean blue.
All right. Well, I'm going to delete this one. Okay. Man, what a weird thing. All right. So there you go. Those are my two rants of the day. It's fine. Everything's fine now. Everything's fine. I'm fine. You're fine.
I had a pretty good day yesterday. Got some work done. I played a little Far Cry 5. I'm trying to help liberate Fall's End, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Is the first zone. Working on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
You're enjoying it still, yeah?
I'm still enjoying it. And yeah.
All right.
It was actually a productive day. Oh, I recorded a Coverville. I'll talk about that in a second.
Oh my gosh, you've done it all.
I've done it all. Done it
How's
all.
How's that song go? There's a song.
What's that?
How's that song go? I've done, you, I thought I, no, I can't think of it. There's a song with I've done it all in it, and now I can't think of it. Anyway.
I've done it all. Well, there's My Way.
I did it. My way. Easily the worst of his songs that gets played the most because they all think, oh, he's dead, so he did it his way. Let's play that
they
one.
He played that thing like crazy even before he died.
I hate that song.
I don't think that's the worst of his songs.
What's the one you like the least?
There's some misogynistic broads are dumb songs. Only that broads are dumb. Doobie doo, they should be under my thumb. Doobie doo, get back in the kitchen. You silly broad.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't
right.
know. There's something like that. That's.
You're probably right. There's probably there's, one of those.
There is something like that. I don't know what it's called.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Anyway, sorry. I interrupted you. You said something about a thing and a deal.
Oh, yeah. I got interviewed for the 7th edition of a book called, and I have the first edition somewhere over here.
7th edition? Whoa, this is like a Wheel of Time book.
Mass Communication in the Digital World.
Wow. Who's the author?
Ralph Hansen.
Ralph
Hansen.
All right.
So who's now checking out the show. I think he's actually checking out TMS. Might be checking it out for the first time today, but he said he was going to give a listen to some of the other podcasts I told him about.
Oh, great.
Because he only knew me via Coverville. I'm like, oh, I do other shows, man.
Yeah.
I do the Pokemon Go podcast.
You do a thing about a mobile game that Marvel people are in.
I do, yes.
Yeah. Well, all right, then.
Only every other week, though.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait for app recommendals tomorrow. I found the best freaking app. Oh,
really?
My gosh. I'm so excited.
Excellent.
I'm kind of tempted to tell you about it early because I think you'd enjoy it so much that I feel bad I'm holding out on you because I think you'd love it.
Oh, really? Gosh. Oh, man. All right.
I'll tell you about it today, but you got to let me app recommend it. That's all.
Well, of course. I can wait 24 hours. Look, it's not like I don't have stuff that I gotta do.
Yeah, you got things.
And maybe another app to take away my time. Maybe that's not what I need right now.
Oh,
Scott.
Maybe not.
That's not.
Maybe
you're
that's
hurting
not.
By telling me about that app.
I very well could be. I could be sticking a big old hot iron right up your keister.
Could be.
Let's do the news.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Today's news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville, where today we featured nothing but Frank Sinatra's misogynistic hits covered by today's... No, I'm just kidding. No, it was a celebration of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the inductees from 2018. So you get your Dire Straits, you get your Bon Jovi, the Cars, Nina Simone, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, the Moody Blues, covers of all of those jammed into one. well, hour and a half, hour and 45 minute long show. It was a big one.
Yeah.
It was a big one. But money, oh my gosh.
Still Money for Nothing, Chicks for Free. Did that make it in there?
Of course, that totally made it in there. A very interesting cover of that by Ghost Town Trio, an instrumental, really dirty blues version of that.
Yeah.
That inexplicably has somebody splashing in a bucket. At the beginning of the song. I don't know what that has to do with Money for Nothing, but there's like somebody who's got a bucket half full of water going.
Really? Why is that?
That's
really
I don't know. I don't know. You'll have to ask the Ghost Town Trio.
Knopfler taking a bath, something like that.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Exactly.
That sounds like a great.
Knopfler didn't even show up to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
What? Why? Yeah. What's he doing?
I don't know. I don't know if like he, I never heard about any strife between him and the rest of the band. The rest of the band were there, but I mean, come on. Mark Knopfler is Dire Straits. You guys are all great. You guys have your other members of Dire Straits. You're all great.
Yeah.
But having Dire Straits there without Knopfler is like having, it's like having Bon Jovi without John Bon Jovi.
Right, exactly. That's horrendous if that's the
Rick,
case.
And they corrected, by the way, we've been calling him Rick Ocasek the whole time, but it's Rick Ocasek.
Ocasek?
Ocasek.
I don't know what's real anymore.
Right? It's like everything, the whole world has been turned around.
Y'all going to come after me for not knowing that for the last
get woke,
40
Scott,
plus years?
Learn how to pronounce.
Get woke.
Get woke to Ocasek.
Is it really? I thought you were going to say Ocasek or something.
No, it's
Ocasek?
Ocasek.
Ah, damn it. I just found some breaking news I don't like.
Oh, the Trump Kim Jong-un thing?
No, I don't care about that. I mean, it's who cares? Those guys, whatever. They're doing whatever they do. Morgan Freeman accused of sexual harassment on movie sets and news conferences by 8 separate women.
Oh, no.
16 people... are claiming it. 8 who claim they were direct victims. 8 who witnessed it. Oh, man.
I think we... It seems like we would have... he would have been one of those names we would have said back when all the original wave, the first wave of names were coming out.
Yeah.
When I said... who did I say? That turned out to have some stuff.
I don't remember. Who was that?
It wasn't Brad... Brad Bird? No.
No, oh, John Lasseter.
John Lasseter, right. That's what I said, John Lasseter. And,
who's still on leave, I think. I think he's just on some sort of weird extended leave for that whole mess.
Exactly. But holy cow, I mean, Morgan Freeman.
Come on, man. That's the climb through a pipe full of shit and came out dirty on the other side.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, we'll see how this progresses, but yeesh. Mm-hmm. I'm not thrilled about this.
No.
Okay. No. Well, anyway. Just, Hollywood. Turns out people get pervy in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is? It's like this weird sense of like importance and power and stuff. Okay. I think this is just a theory of mine, so don't at me on this, but it just seems like because you're a big deal, that starts to make you feel like you can just do whatever and you start kind of dropping your mores. And then it makes you really appreciate the ones who don't do that.
Right.
Because that shows a lot of restraint, I think. But
well, it makes you appreciate the ones who don't until you find out that, oh, yeah, they did too.
Until like, they did, know? Yeah. Don't meet your heroes or whatever.
We never get a confirmation. Like, we're never going to hear, by the way, Tom Hanks, it's been confirmed that he never sexually harassed anyone. News, breaking news, Tom Hanks never sexually harassed anyone.
Yeah.
It's basically, we only find out when it comes out that they did.
Yeah.
I wish we could get like a... hey, here's someone who's in the all clear. Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
Never sexually harassed anybody. Nope. Congratulations, Johnny Knoxville.
Maybe he can't because he had his wiener, all of his junk torn off by that bull that one time.
Right.
Basically castrated himself. So there you go.
I do want to see that new movie, by the way, that Action Point.
I do too. I heard he almost died again on there because it's all real stunts again and stuff.
It was the Alpine slide stunt. Basically, he said, you know, he's like, all right, no problem. And I can't remember what happens. Like one of the wheels is meant to come off and then he tumbles down the concrete thing.
Right.
They actually had an ambulance. So he's like, all right, well, we don't need any of this like overprotection stuff. He says at the bottom of a ramp, there's an ambulance basically parked facing away from the water, from the Alpine slide with its back doors open. And he's like, come on, guys, we honestly don't need that. And then he does the stunt and nearly dies. And basically he's like, okay, well, good thing we have that ambulance.
Yeah, there. No kidding. He's our age. He needs to slow down some.
Yeah.
Well, he says, I read this interview on page six. He says, I was reading yesterday, says one of the Jackass stunts that he feels the most bad about from the actual Jackass days. And I was thinking, oh, man, there are so many. How could I figure out what the one is? The one single stunt he feels the worst about is when they had Steve-O put a hook through his cheek, through Steve-O's cheek, big giant fish hook, and then dived out into the shark water to see if he could get a shark to bite him.
Oh, my God.
He says that's the one he feels the worst about because it really had no good ending. It ended up he was fine. He got out and never got bit. But he was like, for the bit to even work right, he needs to get bit. But I don't want him to get bit. I don't want him to lose a leg. But what's the point of us even doing this? He says they were like back and forth on that. For some reason, I'm fascinated about the process that it is to decide what your stunts are going to be.
Jeez, I know. And where do they have some that they actually consider to be too far?
Yeah. Yeah,
that'd be curious.
That's the only one he says is the fish hook one. So, wow. Here you go.
Well, that's the only one he feels bad about. There had to be some like cutting room floor. They're not cutting room floor, but basically like ideas they said, no, we can't do that one.
Yeah. Maybe the one I would be more, I mean, Steve-O inside of a full outhouse being flung around by giant elastic bands.
Oh, jeez.
I would die. I'd just be dead.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't I wouldn't live. I'd walk out of that thing, fall flat on my face, and that'd be it.
Oh, God.
I don't know how they do any of that stuff. Was that in Jackass 2 or 3? It was 2, I think.
I can't remember.
Anyway, I used to be a big Jackass fan, if I'm being
hard,
honest.
Hard to watch.
Yeah, it is hard to watch. Anything Steve-O did was hard to watch. Mm-hmm. First in the news today, well, I'm glad we're starting with this one. Fake dog testicles made a man a millionaire. Man.
Nice.
We're in the wrong business. Greg Miller.
Apparently so.
Proves that you can make a fortune with anything, even dog balls, it says here. Not the kind you throw around and play in the park with your dog. What I'm doing is I'm developing testicular implants for pets, he tells CNBC. 64-year-old inventor and entrepreneur created Neuticles. Like, get it? Neuter? And
I remember hearing about these when they first came out. Yeah, you get replacements when you get neutered, so you have something to lick, I guess.
Yeah, you got to think you feel more like a man dog when you have something down there.
These are
little silicone implants for male dogs to replace the testes after neutering, so that the dog's appearance down there doesn't change. It made him a millionaire. Do dogs care about this? He says, yes, they do. Says Miller. Certainly, their owners must. Over the past 20 years, Miller claims he has sold over 500,000 sets of Neuticles. And that's an average cost of a pair of $310 per.
That's crazy.
Though some were a lot more. There's a $2,800 watermelon size custom set he made for an elephant in a zoo.
People told him he was nuts.
Yeah. But he showed them.
He showed them.
That's right. Don't test his resolve.
Nothing to get testy about.
See? Yeah, that was better because testy is.
Yeah.
Test is too short.
He's just taking a big sack of money to the bank.
He's made his millions. Well done. Whatever. I can't claim I've made a million anything, so good job on that. Washington State Highway has been covered with 40,000 pounds of, wait for it, chicken feathers after a semi-overturn creating a foul mess.
Sorry, I had to discipline my cat. She's trying to eat my sign, my TMS sign.
What is she doing that for?
I don't know. She's being a little...
What kind of disciplinary measure did you take?
I swatted her lightly on the bottom just to get her attention to let her know that I was watching.
All right. That works for me.
Now she's given up.
Our cat decided to leap on my face and lick me in the middle of the night. So that was great.
Oh, sweet. She had a bad dream, and she just needed you to comfort her is what the deal is.
That's what you want at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's right, yes.
I had a bad dream. Make me feel better.
Give me some salt.
I pooped, and the whole house smells now.
All right.
Sorry. Chicken feathers. Chickens on the highway.
Chicken feathers on the highway. So these are just chicken feathers. Whoops. Not chickens. Commuters in Washington State are clucking with this approval this morning. A semi overturned across the interstate early Wednesday, spilling about 40,000 pounds of chicken feathers across the road. I'm trying to think. That's very heavy for how many chicken feathers do you have to be 40,000 pounds?
I don't know, right? Because, I mean, chicken feathers, probably pretty light. So yeah. It's got to be a lot of them for
like a pound
20 tons.
A pound is like this many chicken feathers.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah. That's crazy. Semi overturned across the interstate early on Wednesday, spilling them. The wreck happened at approximately 3:30 a.m. Nothing good happens that time of day.
Nope. Overnight chicken feather delivery.
Always trouble. Semi driver reportedly didn't have any injuries. He claimed to have fallen asleep at the wheel. Trooper Rick Johnson. Rick Johnson. told Q13 the driver would receive a citation for neglectful driving. The feathers were reportedly being transported from Foster Farms.
Hmm.
What for, though? To put in... It doesn't actually say what they use these feathers for.
Probably for comforters, like down...
Chicken feathers?
I don't know. Do they use chicken feathers for down?
I don't know. I mean, I like when they use the whole chicken. I do like that. But I don't know what they're using them for.
It's 18 million feathers, roughly.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the Washington State Department of Transportation engineers did the math. 40,000 pounds of chicken feathers is about 18 million feathers.
How many chickens is that?
Here you go. That is, there's 8,000 feathers on a chicken. So that's almost 2,300 chickens worth of feathers.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. Wait, we pulled out of the... Sorry, I just saw an ad pop up. We pulled out of the summit with North Korea?
Yeah.
I thought they were threatening to.
No. Trump decided this morning, I'm not going to do it. It's going to be a big disaster.
Well...
It's going to be a total disaster.
Is that... I mean, honestly, is he really... He's probably pulling out because he doesn't want to be the one that gets pulled out on, right?
Oh, like breaking up with you first kind of thing?
Yeah, you can't fire
you can't
me,
fire
I quit.
Me, I quit. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's what that feels like. I wonder what the deal is there. All right, well, whatever.
Do you want to know what we use chicken feathers for, by the way? No. Got a big thank you to Mush Potatoes for this.
What's that?
Plastics. Oh. Heated, mixed with other materials, molded into plastic.
Really?
Powder makeup. So like rouge. Really? And other powder makeup. Diapers.
Really?
Yep. Oil spill cleanup. Hurricane-proof roofing.
Okay.
Apparently, chicken feathers pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay, well, I'm fine with that. That means that that's a good renewable source of whatever, I guess. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that makes plastics any more biodegradable than they currently are. Probably not, because they have to mix it with a bunch of polymers and stuff.
Probably, yeah, exactly. There's just not enough of the organic material in there to make them biodegradable.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, I'm not going to repeat it, but Soul Amino has a great line in the chat. Can you read that? Don't read it out loud, just read it.
There it is.
That's really funny, dude.
That is really funny.
Sorry, everyone at home. I'm not repeating. Yeah, it's nasty. It's because I don't want to talk about Trump anymore.
No, I know. It's a joke about Trump pulling out of the North Korea discussion.
I may as well just say it. He says, I wish Trump pulled out earlier in life at least 3 times. Zing. All right. Cow cuddling is apparently a thing.
Okay.
Brian, when's the last time you cuddled with a cow?
Oh, let me think. It's been about never.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think I've ever cuddled with a cow.
I haven't even tipped one.
Well, they don't do good service. So. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well done, sir.
I do. I have actually participated in a cow tipping once. Went out to a field and helped tip a cow. Again, not because we got our food on time.
Great. Like everything was right. It was delivered on time.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you've heard of cat yoga, bunny yoga, goat yoga, and even goat cuddling. I haven't heard of any of those things.
I've only heard of goat yoga. I've not heard of any of the other things.
I haven't even heard of goat yoga. What do they do
so
there?
So they actually have baby goats that while you're doing your downward facing dog, goats who are notoriously famous for like wanting to climb and be on the highest thing in the room will climb up your back and like stand on you while you're doing like downward facing dog and warrior pose and whatever.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Does he also do a little pebble drop while he's up there? Like,
isn't that the first thing? I'm gonna kind of take a step back here because I know that's the first thing you're gonna think of, but it was the first thing I thought of too when I heard.
Yeah, because goats are gross. They're not nice little house pets. I mean, maybe you can raise them that way, but Here's me being ignorant again. Send me a bunch of angry emails, everybody, about how I don't know anything about goats. Because I don't. I really don't. I know they have the...
Get woke about goat yoga, Scott.
Goat woke. But like a goat, I know a goat, the ones that faint are funny. That's all I know. That's it. That's all I know. And they sometimes go, ah!
Have you seen the video of the shrieking lynxes?
What? No. No. Hold on.
I'm getting it right here. I'm going to get you a link. A lynx link.
I don't know how to spell lynxes in the...
That's all right. I'm putting it in the chat room.
Oh, it's literally what it is. Lynxes. I would have thought that was spelled weird. All right. Some video of two shrieking lynx posted on Ontario. Okay. I'll play it. I got it right here.
Dude, this is great.
Thank you, BBC. If you show me an ad, I'm going to fart. Hold on. Okay. Here we go.
So cool. Who runs into this?
What is that?
It's apparently they're settling an argument.
Really?
Yeah. It's funny though. Like they're kind of building up, and then they lower their heads like they're gonna headbutt, and the voices go higher. like they're on one of those rocking Viking ship rides at the amusement park.
I mean, if they kept it more like, my cat does that when the dog's around, but I've never heard that. That sounded man-like, like voice-like. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway. Learn something new every day.
Shrieking lynxes right there.
Yeah. Laurel.
Not a lot of lynx cuddling is what's going on. We get cow cuddling, not so much lynx cuddling.
By the way, I call those lynxes Yanni and Laurel. Laurel and Yanni. Yanni.
How confusing that you would give them the same exact name, Scott. Why would you name them both Laurel? I don't understand.
Green. What was the other one I did? Green something. Shit, I can't.
Brainstorm.
Brainstorm and green. Pickling, jingling.
Green something. Needle.
Green needle. I'm going to name them Green and Needle. There you go. Anyway, cow cuddling. So this is a thing. It's offered at one mountain horse farm in upstate New York. The horse and cow experience, they call it.
Sure.
The horse and cow experience.
The horse and cow experience. I remember seeing a show like that down in, in Mexico.
Tijuana, I remember that too. I think it was all part of Clerks 2, wasn't it?
That's right.
Anyway, it says cows are generally good cuddle buddies because of their sensitive, intuitive natures. Cows have a body temperature that's slightly higher than humans, and their heart is lower than ours, or the heartbeat rather, rate, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Cuddling up with a cow, feeling that lower heart rate and higher body temperature is very relaxing. It sounds stinky though. It's a big dirty cow. They sit in their own poop.
First thing you think of. This was not the first thing I thought of when this came up. I did not think of cow poop.
What if one of the little cow udders went stray and squirt you in the eye or something? You never know. You sit on them and go, non-pasteurized milk in my eye.
Look at how sweet, though, that photo is on the page.
I haven't looked. Let me take a look. I mean, I think cows are kind of cool. Oh, he is cute.
See? Come on now.
Oh, I could cuddle with that.
Yeah.
But they got those tongues and those snotty noses. Like, this is a really nice picture, but I've been around some cattle.
You're cuddling with them. It's not a makeout session. There's no butt touching. There's like, you know, they're just putting their, you're like putting your arm around their head and cuddling with them for a little bit.
Yeah, he's cute.
Yeah.
I can't deny that. That's a cute cow. Look up cow cuddling chat, people at home. Or go to Business Insider. They have a very cute picture of a cow.
Yeah, but turn off your ad blocker.
That's right.
Because they won't let you read it, and they don't take American Express.
Blah. Hey, how many of those European privacy change emails are you getting from everybody?
Oh, good Lord. I'm worried that I need to send one out, right? Because, I mean, you know, I've got the Coverville citizenship thing, and I'm worried that I need to send out a thing saying, hey, if you don't want to receive these emails anymore, just... click the unsubscribe button.
I know.
All right,
I don't know how to make sure I'm in compliance either. Yeah. But I'm told by my host that everything they do is in compliance. And right now I take no data of any kind. I don't have any ads or anything.
Right.
So I think
it should be okay. Yeah. I think, and if you use MailChimp or Constant Contact or something like that or whatever, they take care of all that for you anyway. So
yeah, that's true. Anyway,
but yeah, I'm so sick of GDPR that,
I'm probably in direct violation because I got fished. You know what I mean?
Not your fault.
Not my fault, but still. Yeah, Scott takes no data nor leaves no data. How is this possible? All right, because there's a single point of data. What's the deal here? Oh, yeah, cuddle with cows. That's a good time.
Sure.
Final story today. 8 years ago, somebody bought 2 pizzas with Bitcoins. Those would now be worth $82 million. I just wanted to point that out. If you... a programmer purchased 2 large Papa John's pizzas with 10,000 Bitcoins. This was back in May of 2010. Mm-hmm. That was about $30 at the time. So that paid for the pizzas. Had he held on to those, he would be worth $82 million right
That's
now.
That's insane.
But then I ask, would he though? Because I
would
don't
he have
get...
held on to it? He would have spent it on the next thing that came around. If he didn't spend it on those pizzas, he would have spent it on an Amiibo or something.
But
later
even if
on.
He held it, when do you get your money? Like, at what point? That's the part of this thing no one explains to me, even Tom. Like, if I got a bunch of Bitcoins worth a bunch of money, where is it really there? Do I have money?
Yeah, I think you can sell them. Like, I think you can, I don't know where you sell them, but I bet there's a place where you can sell them and say, okay, it's probably, you know, you basically have to, like, put them up as an offering, you know, and say, all right, well, I'll buy 5 of those. Great, I'll buy 10 kind of thing.
Yeah, somebody says, "Hey, Jay Calhoun, you cashed some out with Coinbase. What did you do? Were you way up on the deal? I mean, you don't have to tell us details, but I'm just curious what your experience was like." So say it's the equivalent of selling stock and you buy her. So even though they're worth $82 million, I bet you can't sell them for that because that's top money. You'd have to sell them for lower so people would feel like their investment's worth it, right?
I guess.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not going to pretend that I fully understand it, Scott.
I know.
I'm telling you what I believe.
It's like the Utah educational system of Columbus version of Bitcoin.
That's right, exactly.
We just don't know. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Wendy, I think, will be here. I have not heard from her, so I think she's around. I hope she's around. If she's not, we'll do something fun. I don't know, but I just haven't heard back. But I assume she is. If she is, we'll have this cool email. We'll deal with the thing and have her back, and that'll be great. But before all that, Brian, the music man, done brung it.
That's right. And we may not get therapy from Sweden, but we'll get music from Sweden, from Stockholm, a band called Slim Loris, a combination of singer-bass player Matthias Sesterdam and Robert Berefelt. In 2009, he's a guitarist. They joined forces in 2009. They were joined later by drummer Jonas Ellenberg and singer guitarist Leon Lindstrom. Mm. They released a bunch of demos in 2010. They released their debut album called Down to Earth in 2011. This is from their brand new album called Wild and Untamed. It is, here you go, some Swedish music for you. The song is called Burning Elephant.
Ooh, all right, here it is.
If I'm not broke. I can't stay locked and loaded. I'm getting ready to explode. I can't be fixed if I keep breaking to my own accord. Finally, I'm set free to behold.
Hey guys, let's talk about good quality pet food. Who can resist a morning lick from your dog or a purr from your cat? I can't. I can't resist it. It's the first thing that they're going to see in the morning is you and you them. Maybe the last smile you have before bed. Well, they trust you to take care of them, and that's why you feed them Canidae. C-A-N-I-D-A-E. This keeps them healthy and happy. They're an independent and family-owned pet food company that uses the same care and the same quality ingredients they want for their own pets when making their pet foods. In keeping with their commitment to pets and their people, Canidae is taking big steps to make the Canidae Farms get involved in growing some of its own ingredients that they use. I love this. I really, really like the samples that we got, both dog food and treats. My dog is losing her mind every time I pull these things out. Seriously, I've trained her to do better tricks because the Canidae treats are way more important to her than not learning the tricks. It's hard to explain, but it's totally working. That's canidae.com/podcast is where I want you to go. Request free samples and get other free offers. Again, that's canidae.com/podcast and try Canidae for free. Thou shalt not regret it.
Oh, we'll still give you the beautiful towel and clean clothes, but we'll also give you a bonus check worth $1. Just send the bees from 3 bonus boxes, any size, to this address. And, be a genius.
The place is something else. Out of sight. A pot smoker's supermarket. A psychedelicatessen.
The Morning Stream. Save it for the French.
All right, we're back, everybody. A psychedelicatessen. That's pretty good.
Psychedelicatessen. I like that. Great band name right there, too.
Yeah, that's all right. That would work. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to see if Wendy's on. I can't really tell here. It says she's on. Let's see if I can get her in here.
Yeah, but I mean, what does that really mean?
Who knows? You know? I still do her through Discord, so it's green, but I don't know. Hi.
Oh.
Hi.
Oh my gosh, you're there. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, good. Well, you're on a
finally
weird...
finally made it out of the woods.
That's right. She's not lost in the trees anymore.
One heck of a long bike ride.
Well,
what?
I'll bet it was. Well, yeah, it's nice to hear from you. We haven't talked to you in a long time. I guess you got my email, right? You got my email yesterday?
I did, yeah. Did you get my response?
No, for some reason. I didn't get it. I don't know why. So, yeah, I thought maybe something was up, but no, I'm glad all is well. So that thing where you got lost, is there anything else you want to tell us about that? Because I'm just curious how it went or why it happened. Like,
it's got to be a great story.
Yeah, it's got to be,
right? I didn't get lost.
Oh.
Why did you think I was lost?
Mom told me you got lost. This is what Mom told me.
What?
Yeah. Mom said that you talked to her about like you and 150 girls or something got stuck in the woods and didn't know how to get out of there because you got lost.
No. Oh. What?
That's what she told me.
I did not get lost. I just happened to be on a 137 kilometer bike ride.
Yeah. And it just took longer than you thought it would?
Well, so what it was is it was 3 days and you were camping in between. So the first night I was going to come back in time for the show.
Yeah.
Now maybe I get it. Oh, so the woman who came to pick me up and then to bring me back just drove around. She got lost. And so by the time I could get the car and on my way,
that's what mom's talking about. You know, she's not good with the punchlines. She always.
No, no, no. Not at all. But the, yeah, the being lost was in a car, not on a bike with 100. So the bike ride actually is really amazing. If anyone ever has a chance to do it, yeah, and they're into that, it's the old railroad line that goes all in this, you know, this sort of a giant circle. So you end up where you started, which is kind of cool. And it is perfectly flat. It was the most lovely, but it was still long. I'm still going to complain about it.
Long and flat. That's cool.
Except for all the railroad ties.
Cool. Yeah.
The whole time you're, you know, for 137 kilometers.
I love that idea.
Your teeth are falling out now. Yeah. It was paved.
I wish that was true. That'd be so good.
That's 85 miles to those of us who didn't know that and had to look it up because they're comparing themselves to see how that compares to the... they're going to be going on in a month.
Yeah, Brian's doing... What's yours, Brian? I forget the total length.
150 miles over 2 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're... Oh, that's way better. Good job. Yeah.
I don't know if it's way better. It's it's longer.
Or way worse.
Yeah, a little bit of uphill for you is what you're going to deal with. But
Not long and flat, just long and not flat.
Well, really. we've certainly missed having you on. It's been a busy couple of weeks for everybody, but it's good to have you back. And we're going to dive right in. This email, I assume you liked this email, but I didn't get a reply, so I wasn't sure. This one good?
Yeah, I like the one from last time too. And I was like, where did that one go? That was my email back.
Oh, I forgot that we did that. Crap.
Oh, did we have an email?
It's okay. We can get back to it another time.
Yeah, I forgot I had it. I sent her, because I always try to send her one on Wednesday, and I must have done it last week and then, or no, yeah, last, when was the week you were, no, last week you were on a purposeful thing. It was the trip before the week before that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is just me being dumb. All right, well, so I'm going
to. I have a question. Do you guys watch Poldark?
My wife and her friend, Ruth Ann up the road, they are obsessed with it. They freaking love it. I've never seen it once. It's like a spy.
I didn't either, and I went to Cornwall and stayed in a house that had 4 meter deep. Brian, you can Google what's that in feet. 4 meter deep smuggler's hole in the house.
Yeah, I saw this in your Instagram. That is crazy.
So cool. And they put glass plating over it and they lit it. They had like lights in it so you could see in it. And it was, I'm not kidding, literally right in front of the fridge.
So
to get into the fridge, you have to... I couldn't step on it. I just couldn't bring myself to step on it.
Yeah,
so
no, I get it.
So the splits and open the fridge. So anyway, I have never seen Poldark. I don't know anything about it other than that is all everyone talks about in relationship to this place that I went. So
oh, really?
That's where I was last week.
Okay, so do you... what do they smuggle in the smuggles rooms? What's in there? People? Is it humans?
Very piratey era around there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look how much I cared. I was just on vacation.
This is where we kept our gold, they told you. Okay. Yeah. That's great.
Bodies.
Anyway. Bodies. Great. That's great. It did look creepy. I'm gonna say that. That picture you sent gave me the willies. Yeah. I didn't like it.
It was. And that the whole area is, I mean, it is beautiful, but it is so different.
Yeah.
Like you think you know England, you don't know England when you go down there. It's really a different landscape. It's pretty cool.
Let's see. I'm going to
tell Kim.
Yeah.
Get on the chassis. I don't know any English terms, I should say.
Get on the chassis. I don't know what that means. Right. I don't know what that means either. here it is. So, okay, chat room. I just want to show them this real quick. So here's this house. You guys stayed here.
Yeah, it's like a cottage stone. I mean, so the original houses were built like 1600, 1700, the original layout. And you are just like at the end of the world. It feels like you're down a tiny little road. And anyway, it just went into all disrepair and a farmer owned it. And the day he put it up for sale, a guy from London walked by and said, "What do you want?" And he's like, $1 million.
Whoa.
You know? And the guy's like, "Cool, done." And he bought it right then.
Wow.
And then he has made them. They're 10. They're so cute and cozy, except for the giant smuggler's hole right in front of the fridge.
Yeah, look at this hole, you guys. I'm showing the chat room. That thing's creepy. I don't like it. You can see the stuff at Instagram.com/WendyDunford or just Wendy Dunford on Instagram.
Yeah, Brian, what's 4 meters? How far is that for
13
America?
Feet.
13 feet.
13 feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still do.
Well, cool. I do more meters, centimeters, and millimeters than most people, but we still do our, we like our imperial measurements. What can I tell you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just can't quit them.
Nope. Can't quit. Can't pinch an inch or whatever. Hey, so.
Let's get to it.
We're gonna read this email. This is from, I don't know if I should say the name. I'm not gonna say the name.
Yeah.
We'll just say this person's from Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's all we'll say.
Okay.
Hi, Wendy, Scott, and Brian. My general question is, how much responsibility should I, as a sibling, feel toward getting my siblings to do things I feel would be healthier for them and the family as a whole? What is my duty as a brother? Well, you spelled duty D-O-O-D-Y. Number one, duty is not spelled that way.
I think he's just painting in your colors.
Probably.
He is. Yeah. Yeah. I totally thought, oh, he knows Scott well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Probably exactly. Kind of does. All right. He says, background and specifics. I'm 30. I have two older sisters who are both 10 years older than me, and their relationship with each other has been horrible ever since I can remember. When we were young, their relationship was at its worst when it cooled off. Then it cooled off. Now it's back to Korean DMZ levels. Jeez. Well, actually, they're not too bad right now.
Well, yeah, actually, yeah.
DMZ's never been better, actually.
A year ago, Korean DMZ levels.
Okay, sure. My oldest sister, Lou, has two toddler kids, and the other sister, Lynn, gets along with the kids and wants to be a part of their lives, and Lou kind of grudgingly allows this because she lives at home with our parents. But Lou will be moving out on her own to her own place soon and has already declared that once she does, the other sister, Lynn, won't be allowed in. It's stupid and exhausting, and I think they're cold warring just because they don't know any other way to coexist with each other. But how much responsibility should I feel by sticking my brown nose into this mess? Why is it brown? Well, anyway, whatever. Even if neither of them wants me to weigh in, thanks for your individual contributions to my ears.
So I've met this person, and he's saying that because of his race.
Oh,
yeah, Scott, you're slow, dude.
Yeah, I'm thinking brown nose. I'm thinking brown nosers. You
right,
know,
brown like, noser. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Which is more of a put your nose up somebody's butt.
And
kind of thing.
And his sister's name Lynn and Lou, and he's referencing Korea. Is he Korean?
No, well, I don't know. No. Is he not?
He's not. Nope.
Okay.
No.
I don't know. Yeah. See, that's what it is. See, look at you making assumptions based on race.
Yeah. Look at him messing with us whiteies. Yeah. We don't know stuff.
Bunch of crackers. All right. So anyway, what do you do here? Because I feel like this is every family all over, everywhere, has some like this somewhere. Some kind of weird little deal.
Yeah.
And I don't think too many people are immune to it. And the bigger your family, the more maybe it is. But this sounds like there's been some rough blood there for a long time. So how much should he worry about being the catalyst for peace between the two, the North and the South?
The two warring factions.
Yeah, the two warring factions.
Well, you know, actually his family culture, maybe it's culture, other culture, you know, if there's some, you know, various styles that come in that family, because every family has their own style. I really like Swedish family culture. It's just like non-confrontational, and then they split up.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of a thing. So, you know, their own individual, not to say all Swedes are the same, but there tends to be maybe a personality or an energy that you have in your individual family. So yes, everyone's dysfunctional in their own way. Mm. And so it may be that there really is like DMZ zone level tension all the time. Like it's going to be a blow up and you're kind of walking on eggshells and da da da. So obviously he's 10 years younger. He's been feeling this for all of his life, right? Mm-hmm. That it's not real safe between those two. They don't really like each other. And sometimes it's all at war and sometimes they blah, blah, blah. So he's going to feel the pressure to care, engage, maybe try to make a difference. And I mean, I don't want to make this real short, but he can't do anything about it.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, that's my feeling was the same when I read this. I just thought, like, what can you do? You can be there to, you know, for moments where there's some light and you can bridge the gap by being the friendly dude that's like, well, hey, what about a barbecue or whatever? You know, like you can kind of be a little bit of a peacemaker that way, but you can't I don't think you can intervene because it's not going
to
help.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. Is it going to potentially cause a rift now between him and one of the sisters because they feel like they're getting ganged up on by the other sister and now the brother.
Right.
Right. Which is like, you got to let us see the kids. And she really, I mean, it's her children and her life, and she's going to make mm-hmm. that decision. The question becomes, is the role you have played actually having a negative impact?
Right.
Because he's asking this question, and I'm going to assume full well he is, there's been plenty of times he's intervened, whether it's try to change the energy of the room, take one of the sisters out, tell everyone to stop, you know, whatever. I'm assuming he's done something. He hasn't just sat there for 30 years, you know? Mm-hmm. And so my question is, does it contribute to the problem, or does it, is it neutral? Like whatever you do kind of doesn't matter. Because here's the question. If you stop playing your role, what happens to them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is true of all families. We, you know, when you meet a dysfunctional family, as you do, like at a park, you say, hello, dysfunctional family. And you could sense that the marriage relationship's really rocky and tense. And then you could point to the second child and say, oh, are you the scapegoat? And he's got, like, you know, tears tattooed on his face, right? Like it's like you could pick out a dynamic of dysfunction because people will play their roles.
Yeah.
So the dysfunction of the couple gets projected onto the kid, and the kid senses it and doesn't want anything to do with it, and he rebels. And then there's the oldest child who's good, and the youngest who, and blah, blah. Anyway, so everyone kind of plays a role. And the question for him is, what role have you played? And what happens when the scapegoat stops being the scapegoat? Or what happens when the good child says, screw you all, and does their own thing? And what happens when, you know, so shifting your role is a really interesting experiment. And he's asking us, hey, should I shift my role more towards the good son who then plays the mediator and the peacemaker? And all of us are saying, well, I don't think that's going to do any good. And I'm going to suggest doing the exact opposite would be an interesting experiment to whatever he is currently doing, to stop doing any of it. And I don't know, we could figure out something for him to try.
Yeah.
you become the aggressive, angry brother. No, I mean, you just throw a wrench.
Turn
in
it around. Yeah.
Yeah. You be the DMZ zone yourself.
Make them join
forces
against him. Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can unite. If you are a crazy enough person, you can unite two countries who haven't talked to each other in 50 years because you're so crazy. Right. So if you act crazy, then maybe North and South Korea will talk to each other.
Yeah. I think you're giving him too much credit. I don't think he has anything to do with this. But here's the origin of scapegoat, by the way. I was interested in this when I read the email, and I wanted to share it with the listeners.
Came from?
Yeah, because I'm always fascinated by where we get our, you know, these common things we say all the time. Ah, he's a scapegoat. Blah, blah, blah. So here's what it is. In the Bible, a scapegoat is an animal which is ritualistically burned with the sins of others and then driven away. Sorry, burdened, not burned. Burdened.
That's a very different
thing. Very different. The concept first appears in Leviticus, in which a goat is designated to be cast into the desert to carry away the sins of the community. So basically, they would strap blocks of wood and stone to its head and its body to this poor goat, and then smack it in the butt, and it would go the other way. And everybody in town would be like, phew, thank goodness that's over. All my sins are gone. Anyway, there's that. Dang. Just want to throw it out there. You don't want to be anybody's scapegoat, turns out.
And, you know, sometimes understanding, I mean, I would ask a couple questions. Is there any, like, what's the mom-dad dynamic?
Yeah.
And what, you know, the sister lived with them. And some of that is cultural. Like, if his parents are immigrants or not, it kind of matters in figuring out some of these things, because there's certain roles certain people play. I know, as a non-Swede, I parent so differently than Swedes. And then those I know here who've come from other countries have such different styles based on their culture, right? And, right, you know, you acclimate. Eventually, your children then become the, like, everybody else, but your first generation, you know, maybe not. And, you know, maybe he's from a culture that, I'm making all this up, of course, but maybe he's from a culture where, like, the parents are very passive, kids get to do and say whatever they want, that they're the oldest daughters. And so this has gone unchecked by any adult thinking figure for a long time. So it'd be interesting to explore that. What is the family? How did this sort of happen? And, you know, where do we go?
Yeah. There's more there. I don't know what it is, and I don't know why I'm suspicious of the more part, but there's something else going on. And I don't mean in a like really nefarious way or anything, but I just like to know where mom and dad sit in all this. Is she living? Okay, here's one for you. Because I feel like this is a big thing in a lot of families. Let's say you got a family where all things were kind of equalish when they were young, but as everyone got older and everybody kind of went their different ways, whether it's luck or it's providence or some sort of ambition or whatever it is, divides happen. Suddenly one of the brothers is a very successful PhD holding doctor. And the other one is, you know, putting up sheetrock for a living, which is, you know, is as honorable a trade as anything else. But there's this cultural, you know, weirdness perception that, oh, successful brother this and non-successful brother that. And maybe there's some of that going on if she has kids and is living with the parents. I didn't hear about a husband there or even a significant partner who's like helping raise said children or child.
Right.
So is she in this tight financial position where she's been forced to single mom at home and live with her parents, which nobody really wants to do, at least in our culture, we don't. You know, we want to get out and be independent. So she feels like she's not that. And maybe her sister is. So there's all that resentment. Like all of that seems, I'm filling in blanks here that I don't know, but it all feels like maybe some of that's at play. Cause that creates big divides. Don't you think? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, totally. And then the only grandchildren, at least that's how it sounds, are this one sister's. And she's the one that's like kind of the most angry and the most, has the most power.
Yeah.
And she needs to live with mom and dad. So she's not feeling super powerful, but somehow in the family dynamic has the most power, which is interesting. So I'm not seeing like, oh, someone here's an alcoholic, but let me throw alcoholism and family dynamics in here just for funsies. Because it's very distinct roles that appear with alcoholic families. And I think families with zero alcoholism have sometimes this version that depends on whatever the maybe it's some other addiction or some other dysfunction. So we have names for them too. So follow me down this sidetrack for a second here.
All right.
So you have the alcoholic, obviously. Then you have the enabler. This is their title. This is the family member who protects the addict from the consequences of their behavior, bails them out of jail, cleans up the messes they cause, minimizes the consequences. Often it's the spouse, not always, but often.
Yeah.
Then there's the hero. The hero is the family member who attempts to draw attention away from the alcoholic by excelling, performing well, generally being too good to be true.
Yeah.
So I can think of multiple families who've never had a drop of alcohol where these roles are all being played.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's pretty
it's universal, man. It's pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
Right.
Right. So this person is,
I mean, this is
minimizes again. Wait, sorry. This person, there's a performance-based behavior that sort of for them personally blocks emotional pain and disappointment. Then there's the scapegoat, like you helped us define historically and biblically. This person is the family member who creates other problems and concerns to deflect the attention away from the real issue. Sometimes, I mean, they're doing it unconsciously. It's not like they're like, maybe if I light this house on fire and go to jail, people will stop focusing on my dad's alcoholism. I don't think it's that conscious, but it's definitely comes out in sometimes their own substance abuse or bad grades, misbehavior, whatever.
Right.
But they're really good at distracting the family and others from the dysfunction.
Yeah.
Because then they can, you know, carry the sins of the family away from the village.
Right.
Then the lost child is the family member who appears to be ignoring the problem completely. Like they're just kind of go away when there's a big family fight, or they just kind of
ostrich put their head headphones in the sand in. Kind of thing.
Yeah. Just, and not even that they, I mean, it's maybe on their own volition. They just kind of disappear versus everyone ignores them. That also can happen too. They are not good though at drawing attention away from the family problem. So that person just kind of avoids stuff and isolates, right? And then the mascot. The mascot attempts to use humor as a means to escape the pain of the problems caused by the addiction. They clown around, crack jokes, make light of serious situations.
I know who this is, my family. I know exactly who this is. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Assigning a label or assigning names to each of these.
Yeah, it is. That's totally me. Are you kidding? Like, that's how I deal with any, like, yeah, that's totally me. Yeah. I don't mean just here. So then, like, growing up, when we have family get-togethers of any kind, it's always me. Except, oh my gosh, mom was making us laugh so hard the other night, the Mother's Day thing we had, because she was telling us, I told it on the show, but she was talking about how she was getting to figure out Netflix and couldn't understand why this British movie she watched kept going for 10 hours. And I was like, Mom, it's a series. And that made me laugh. But then she said, it was really good and it didn't have much violence in it, but there were sure a lot of sex scenes. And I says, I can't believe I haven't told you this. And I go, oh, well, you know, yeah, it's what you get. Some British stuff, they're a little less, you know, worried about that stuff. And she goes, you know, it's not that I don't mind it. In fact, every time one would come on, John would put his hand on my arm and kind of rub my arm. And I'm like, Mom, don't tell me this. Don't ever tell me this. This is not a thing I want to know. But I was also laughing so hard I was crying. It was so funny. Anyway, sorry. Sidetrack. But I do tend to do that. I do that, and I'll fully admit it's because if there's something awkward going on or there's a fight or I can tell that there's some animosity someplace, I'm like, nope, look over here. I got balloon animals. Whee!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you're the mascot. And the real intent is to ease tension, keep the peace, serve as a distraction.
Right.
And this is an understatement, but many comedians come from dysfunctional homes.
Yeah.
No surprise. I actually really enjoy watching comedy and psychoanalyzing them because it is so obvious and cute and fun, and they're so funny, and I'm grateful for them even though they had some hard thing that makes them funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true though. So anyway, and not to say there's alcoholism or addiction in this guy's family, but there's something, and sometimes there's a personality thing that's really hard. You can have one person who's just dominant and difficult and dramatic or whatever makes it tough.
Yeah.
And they just get the majority. You do a pie chart, like where's all the attention going? Mm-hmm. And it's likely to Lou or Lynn or whatever, which one. And that's been always the way it is. And it will probably always be that way. So some of this is, the therapeutic approach is analyze the crap out of it, understand everyone's role, figure out what your role is, decide what you're willing to put up with and not. Recognize your own powerlessness and accept it. And then it changes how these interactions feel because you aren't setting yourself up each time to suddenly be surprised that it all went down the toilet again.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, it's gone down the toilet. Just, you know, vape your marijuana before you go in or whatever. Like you handle it and you, you just expect it. And I think that's hard for a lot of us. We want things to be better, different, and we struggle until we're old enough to stop trying and kind of accepting things sort of the way they are. I mean, that's a tricky test of life.
Right. Well, I feel like we need to know more about it, but I'm also curious about, you know, how it goes. I mean, what is he in this scenario of all those names you mentioned? If you had to pick one. Is he the mascot? Is he the?
He might be the lost child.
Mm.
But he's 10 years younger, which adds a, like, you know, I mean, if he would have said something that would have made us think he was the scapegoat, if that's what he was.
Yeah.
I feel like, so he could be the hero. Like everyone's proud of him, his little brother, and he's so nice. And his parents probably are like, he's great. Mm. And or he's the lost child and they're sort of, he's the least that causes this problem. So he kind of, they're okay to, you know, look away and ignore him.
Sure.
And this maybe he's funny. I mean, he did right duty. And he could be the mascot.
Yeah.
He's everything but the scapegoat potentially in my mind.
Yeah. He did right duty. So
he did right duty.
He could be a funny guy.
And the brown nose was funny. Also, you know, the enabler, and that's kind of what my point is. If he analyzes his role in this dynamic, maybe he's always trying to convince the other sister to be nice to the other sister.
Right.
You're owning both of their bad behavior in that moment. You're acting as an unpaid mediator, and why, and is it working? And so those are important questions to ask yourself. Like, is the thing I'm trying working? Is the thing I'm trying hurting? Is the thing, and when I say hurting, I don't necessarily mean the whole family dynamic, but is it hurting you?
Mm.
I mean, he reached out. Obviously, it's a big factor in his mind. He's wanting his niece and nephew or whatever to have all their aunts and uncles and family.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, everyone wants to feel comfortable and happy in their families. And that's a tough order sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, your intentions are always good. They come from a good place usually. It's why people are fighting. If you don't care, you all just go to your corners and leave each other alone.
Yeah.
But blood is thicker than
also my experience. Water. My experience has been in order to have the feelings of, wow, what a tight knit relationship I have with an aunt or an uncle or with a family unit or whatever. You don't know what that feels like unless you've seen the other bit. You know what I mean? Like, what's it like? You don't know how good.
Yeah. I mean, until you see what other families are like, you don't know what your own is.
If you don't have your own strife, then how can you ever know what it feels like to have those moments where there is none? Because if you don't, otherwise you don't appreciate it. You have no idea. It's like, how do you know what it's like to be healthy unless you've been sick? It's like same kind of thing. And I feel like, you know, this desire we have for everything to be perfect is actually just a non thing, because it won't be. And part of the reason it won't be is because we derive the happy moments from, you know, the dark ones inform the happy, if that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, people will go to their graves not talking to their brother or sister or whatever.
Yeah.
And that happens probably all too often. But, you know, it's sort of deciding what you want. So maybe your sisters don't want to be together, but do you want to be with that sister and then those grandkids? And then, you know, like make some decisions rather than, let's keep this family unit the way it should be in theory and adjust with what it is. What is the reality? And then what is it you want?
Yeah.
So maybe it's that you're seeing those two sisters at separate times because they don't talk to each other. And maybe it's you draw boundaries. If they want to talk crap about the other one, you just say, nope, not with me.
Mm.
And then it's like, crap, what do we talk about? And that's a really common thing. Like when the scapegoat, if someone says, okay, we're not going to talk about the scapegoat anymore, then it's like, well, we don't have anything to talk about. Find something to talk about. You know, you start to really adjust a dynamic when anyone behaves differently. So when an alcoholic gets sober, the whole family's like, it's like jumbled. Like, what do I do? How? Yeah. My whole job was to distract everyone from the fact that dad's drunk at this wedding or, you know, whatever. And so it really sort of throws a wrench in a good way, of course, but you still have to adjust. So, you know, figuring out what role you want to play, what boundaries you want to have. And then, you know, talk through this with somebody. He didn't mention that he was partnered, but, you know, to talk it through with someone so you feel the support when you play the new role.
Because sometimes he is that's married. Hard to play I do know that.
By yourself. He's married.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. So ask your wife to, or husband to ask or to support you in the new role. Like, okay, talk this through, figure out this stuff. Of course your heart's broken. That, you know, it's like grieving every time they fight, that it can't just be a different way. Why does it have to be this way? And so accepting that is really important. Grieving that is really important. And then sort of talking through how you want to move forward and then get support to do that.
Yeah.
You just can't decide for them how they're going to behave, unfortunately.
I hate that, but yes, these are all hard truths. Well, good luck, and let us know how it goes. This is a regular member of our little community, and we're you know, curious how things turn out. And I think it's very nice and noble that he wants to try to do something to help that mess.
For sure.
Yeah. Everybody's had to deal with something like that, and we get it. Well, fantastic. This has been great. Are you here next week? I can't remember. You told me May is busy for you, right? So what's going on? Are you here next week?
Yes. So today I was supposed to be the day I also wasn't here because Abe is on his thing that you guys all helped him win. And he's going to pictures for me and then I'll send him to you.
Oh, right. That's right. So yeah. It's
a big water adventure.
How long is it? It's a week or what is
it? It's just 2 days. We're not that far from Denmark. So they drive down there, take a ferry. Swim half a day, eat, swim in half a day, and come back.
That sounds all right.
Nice and quick, but very fun. So anyway, I didn't have to go, which was kind of nice. And so I'm here today. Next week, what is next week? I think next week's good. Yeah,
next week's clear. Okay.
All good next week.
All right, sweet. Well, we will connect once again with Wendy Dunford. I didn't even mention at the top of the thing. She's an actual therapist, you guys. We're not just here shooting the poop. She actually knows stuff. Right. In case this is your first,
it might sound like it, but it's all right.
In case you were wondering, and this is your first episode, I sometimes assume too much about who's listening today. But anyway, it's as always a pleasure. Wendy Dunford on Instagram, therapythursdays.com if you want to submit some questions, and or check out what's available there. And on Twitter, it's a thing I forgot.
Who cares? But also, I was on the Phileas Club earlier today.
Oh, you were on today. Fantastic. Patrick, you're one of Patrick's favorite guests on there, so it doesn't surprise me.
I'm the only woman he can get. Let's all be honest.
Yeah. It does feel like it sometimes, but what was
it? It does. It completely does. Well, but it was fun. It was a good episode you should listen to. Right. I'm talking about stuff I know nothing about, which was unions in the United States.
Oh, great.
I don't have any idea.
Fantastic.
Anyway. Yeah. So if you want to hear ignorance, go listen to the Phileas Club.
There you go. Phileas Club at frenchspin.com. Wendy, have a fantastic day and my best of the family. We'll see you later.
Whoop, see you, Wendy.
There she goes.
Okay.
I closed that faster than I meant to. And I know that seems weird for me, but I did.
All right.
Yeah. Brian, have for you before we leave a mashup of sorts from Jamie. He sent it over with the title Butt Stuff, which concerns me. A little worried about it. But nonetheless, here it is. Let's see how we follow up some good advice for somebody with some terrible audio. Here you go. Hidden in his rectum.
Oh,
rectum damn near killed him. Hidden inside, yes, you guessed it, is pooper.
No skin off my butthole. Well,
dude, if you're getting skin off your butthole, get that looked at. They're nature's butthole. He would thumb or finger up the hoo-ha there.
But his hands are too large. You can't
toss their salad.
Yeah, part of their allure. Very slowly and methodically inserts that thing in his butthole. Bum's there. He's all exposed. What's this game we're playing? Well, you put a toothbrush in your anus and then you read poetry. It's like a dirty bum. Just a dirty, dirty bum. And I don't mean bum like on the street. I mean bum like your ass is what I mean.
Right.
Like I had to hold my butt out and go, here, kiss it. My butt itches. Or itch my butt. That's what it was.
Yeah, itch my butt.
Oh, shit. I got neurological tumors on my bunghole. But on the whole.
On the whole, Preparation H is the best.
May have even been like a butt cheek or something for all I know.
It's a little too thin and easy to lose between a pair of butt cheeks, really.
If you're going to be in the porn industry, you better bleach that butthole.
You better bleach your anus, yes.
Our bums are dumb. Right. We got dumb bums. Exactly. There's no such thing as a good man bum. Do you think when they shave their buttholes, they call that a Brazilian?
If hobbit's feet are so hairy, how is their hairy hobbit hole?
It looks like a Baldwin brother down there. It looks like Gene Shalit is giving them a piggyback ride.
Yeah, Gene Shalit right down in the hole there.
When I got into Fractured Butthole, it felt a lot like the first one, but then it finds its own groove as you get further into the butthole.
Oh, it looks like you've already had a finger up your butt recently. I guess we don't need to do that.
300-year-old note found inside of the butt of a Jesus statue. Restorers of an 18th century statue of Jesus in Spain have found a handwritten note hidden up his bum. The document, carefully handwritten on both sides in two pages, was found when restorers removed a piece of fabric used to cover Christ's behind and exposed a small gap. We've all got one of those.
Where's Tom Hanks when you need him, right? This is like the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, the Da Vinci Code.
I forgot about that one.
I completely forgot about that. Yeah, that was a lot of butt stuff. That's
boy, you know that we talk a lot about butt stuff when we get that far in the Herb Alpert song.
Yep, it's usually never that far in. That was a full 2-minuter, man. In fact, 2 minutes on the dot. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Jamie. As always, TMS Mashups on Twitter. That's going to do it. Oh, hey, vote for today's title for the show. I see people are submitting some now. Frogpants.showbot.tv is the place to vote and to submit. And if you haven't already submitted, you can do that in the chat room. They're showing you how right now.
Some great ones in there.
Yeah, we'll pick that at the end of the show for today's title. Don't forget that on Friday at 1:30 p.m., we have a little episode of the show called TMSPM, brought to you by your support at patreon.com/TMS. Brian and I are thinking about a new cool monthly thing we might throw together that would be just for patrons.
Yes, for sure. It's not even a thinking about it. We're doing this.
We're just thinking of what the hell it is. But once we figure that out, we'll be bringing that to you soon. So if you're like, oh man, I want whatever that's going to be, patreon.com/TMS is the place to do it. If you're looking for every other way to contact us, find us, websites, emails, Twitter accounts, all of it, go to frogpants.com/TMS and feel free to comment on the episode that we post today, because that'll be up there. Yeah. All right, that's it, Brian. Shall we escape this mortal coil, but with song in our mind?
Gosh, I hope it's not going to be that severe. Oh. But how about if I just play a song and then we leave? Yeah, Is that good enough?
That's totally okay. Fine. Yeah.
Hey, Darths, both Sidious and Bane. Gotcha.
Got it.
A certain Star Wars story comes out today, so I thought it'd be fun to hear a Star Wars-themed cover. If you've got a cover of Bill Murray's Star Wars song from SNL, I'd love to hear it. If not, any Star Wars cover will do. Love the show, though. Signed, Forrest. Well, all right, so I don't have a cover of the Bill Murray one. I would love for somebody out there to cover Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. Don't let them in.
Yeah, love it.
But nobody's done that. However, in thinking about that version, I thought about another version that is more parody, less cover, by a guy named Mark Jonathan Davis. Mark Jonathan Davis is a comedian, writer, actor, singer, who worked on the Kevin and Bean show in L.A. for a while as a writer, and actually eventually as a producer. His music has appeared in films, and he's even been in a Coverville concert back in 2008 when he was performing as a character named Richard Cheese. So this is Mark Jonathan Davis pre-Richard Cheese. Back in 1997, he released this. This is set to the music of Barry Manilow's Copacabana, but it's called The Star Wars Cantina.
Oh, let's play it. And don't take any pictures, you guys. No pictures while we play this
song. No pictures. No sharing on social media.
Yeah, or he'll spit on you.
Yeah. You grab your phone and throw it down on the ground.
Here it is. We'll be back tomorrow for the PM edition of the show. Oh, and today, let's see, what's today? Thursday? What the hell's going on today?
What do you do on Thursdays?
I have so much to do, and I can't think of any of it right now. What else is happening today? There's always something else. I can't think of it. Anyway, here's the song. I'll figure it out and tell you later. Bye.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Her name was Leia. She was a princess with a Danish on each ear, and Darth Vader drawing near. So R2-D2 found Ben Kenobi.
Obi-Wan.
He'd have to put the Death Star plans into the Rebellion's hands. So Luke and Obi-Wan had to get to Alderaan. So they stopped into Mos Eisley to have a drink with Han at the Star Wars Cantina. The weirdest creatures you've ever seen.
Here at the
Star Wars Cantina. Music and blasters and old Jedi masters at the Star Wars.
Una puta solo.
His name was Solo.
Han Solo.
He was a pilot with a blaster at his side and a smile 12 parsecs wide there with Chewbacca. He was a Wookiee. They met with Luke and Obi-Wan about the Millennium Falcon docking bay 94. Stormtroopers at the door with the flash of Ben's lightsaber. Now there's an arm on the floor at the Star Wars Cantina. The weirdest creatures you've ever seen. Star Wars Cantina. Music and blasters and old Jedi masters at the Star Wars.
Mos Eisley Spaceport. You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
His name was Yoda. He was a Muppet. Darth Vader was
not so bad. And by the way, he's Luke's dad. Luke kissed his sister. His hand got cut off. In that galaxy far, far away, Luke has had a lousy day. Boba Fett was so mean. Jabba had bad hygiene. Why didn't they all just relax back on Tatooine at the Star Wars?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Not enough mana.